At the core of marriage problems, the issue of sin. In our self-focus, we often don't love our mates as we should. Many marriages begin happily, but then descend into conflict. That's when husband and wife display the latent rebellion that's marked all of us since that first couple. Today, how to apply God's solution to man's deepest problem and heal broken relationships. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer concludes his four-part series on Till Death Do Us Part. What all couples need is the forgiveness Jesus offers, based on his own work on the cross, foreshadowed in the Garden of Eden.
What he said to them is, you don't need your fig leaves. What you need is some garments of skin. And if these were garments of skin, obviously God must have killed some animals to make these clothes for Adam and Eve. And Bible commentators for years have seen in this the prefigurement of the coming of Jesus Christ, because animals were slain in the Old Testament, all pointing to the coming of a Redeemer who would die on a cross. And then when Jesus died, he became the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. Now listen to me carefully. God is saying, I will cover your shame. I'll cover your shame. It says in the book of Revelation to the church at Laodicea, the Lord said, he says, come, buy of me, and I shall give to you white clothing so that the shame of your nakedness might not appear. Those of you who are living today in that prison of shame, God can cover you. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, and though there are those ugly sores, I will send a snowfall, and you'll be covered, so that your shame will be put away. It says in Psalm 25, they that wait for thee shall not be ashamed. There's a covering for your shame. And also, because your shame is covered, that's actually also the answer to your fear. Despite our need and despite our helplessness, we can come to God as we are, knowing that there is a Redeemer to cleanse us and to forgive us and give us a standing before God that can never be earned but is ours through his matchless, wondrous grace. And when we do that, we begin to have the security to be able to communicate, because now we know that we're accepted by God, we're forgiven by God, we can let others know who we are and take that risk without fearing the rejection and without the pain of the shame overwhelming us, so that we can not only be loved by God but feel loved. Because the guilt is gone, the shame is gone, the fear is gone, and now we can begin to love each other. There are some of you who are listening to this message who are single, and you've had some terrible experiences in your relationships. The minute someone has begun to love you and there's a relationship that has been developed, you immediately back away because you fear letting someone know who you really are. And all of your relationships have to be kept at a distance. You cannot let someone into your world. I urge you today, receive the cleansing of Christ. Receive the covering for your shame. And let someone know who you really are. There are some of you who are married and your communication lines are incredibly frozen. Every month, more hostility, more anger, more shame is stacked on the walls that you have built around you. You have dug those foundations, yes. You have put up the barricades. You have cemented your life in. You have folded your arms and you have said, no one is ever going to get inside my world. And that's why your marriage is in such bad shape, because no one can love you unless they know you. Let me tell you a true story. The names are changed, but the story is totally true. We'll say that the man's name was Tim and the woman's name was Ann. Both accepted Christ as Savior, brought up in a fine evangelical church, became Christians in their teenage years, and married, but became disillusioned with Christianity. Looked at the promises of Jesus, you know, if you come to me, you will never hunger. If you believe on me, you will never thirst. And they were hungering and they were thirsting and they were looking at the promises, and they asked their friends and they received sympathy but no real help. So they just decided to drop out of church. Christianity does not work. Anne began to watch soap operas. They became a part of her day there at home as she was bored with a husband that lacked excitement. And as she began to watch those soap operas, she realized that there was a part of her life that she thought had been missing. Brought up in a fine Christian home, why, there was a whole life out there in the world that she had never experienced. The life of excitement, the life of the possibility of a new partner. And so she had an affair. Her husband would have left her, but pride kept him at home because they were known in the community, and he just simply didn't want to walk out on her, though she had this relationship. When it seemed as if their marriage could not take a single strain that would break it totally, Anne discovered that she was pregnant. The problem was that it was not a moment of rejoicing because she was unsure as to whether her husband was the father of the child. They decided to attend a meeting where some couples had gotten right with God. Some worldly couples had actually so yielded themselves to Christ that their lives were full of joy. And they were communicating. And as this couple shared their need, get this now, the sharing of a need is so important, because they had to break out of that wall of secrecy and anger and hostility and unforgiveness that they were living in. As they broke out of that and they shared a need to these couples, they said, "We need prayer." All the couples got on their knees and prayed for this couple that had that great need. And during the prayer, Tim took his wife's hand and squeezed it and said, "I forgive you." And it was those words that suddenly took all of that hostility and guilt and shame and anger, and it penetrated those walls that she had so carefully nurtured and built. And that night when Tim and Anne got home, they did something they should have done early on in their marriage. They talked all night. Amid tears, they shared their expectations. They shared what they liked about one another, what they didn't like, all the disappointments that their marriage had brought. But in the midst of it, they were communicating, finally, for the first time, really communicating. And then they ended that long marathon talk in prayer. 6 years after that experience, when their little daughter was six, I wrote up their story that occurred in a book I wrote many, many years ago. And they told me that during that six-year period, first of all, the little girl that was born to them did turn out to be their child. But secondly, they said that during that six-year period, they could not remember having one serious argument of any kind. Why? Because they said Jesus Christ is really the best marriage counselor. Why? Because in the process of communication, in the process of allowing one another finally to enter into each other's world, the Bible says that where two or three are gathered together for the purpose of reconciliation, that's the context, Christ said, "I am there to make sure it happens." You will never sense the presence of Christ more than when you honestly and openly communicate. You say, but wasn't it painful? Oh, yes, believe it is painful. It's as painful as slicing an ugly sore and getting the pus out so that it can heal. That's how painful it is. But without it, it can't happen. Some of you, in your marriage, you will never be healed unless you talk. No matter how much you cry, and tears are important, no matter the pain. Some of you are hiding from one another. You're hiding from God. And I say to you today, in the name of Christ, in God's name, get found. Get found. You're playing hide and seek. God knows where you are. It's time that somebody else also knew exactly where you are. Because without communication, there cannot be love. And God is willing to clothe your shame, set you free, so that finally the great stone face can begin to talk. Let's close. Now, Father, I have spoken only words. Unless the blessed Holy Spirit, who has been poured out to his people, does the work, the message falls on deaf ears. I cannot penetrate the barriers. I cannot get behind the walls. The words that I speak fall dead to the person who says, no one will ever find out who I am. But Lord, you are the God of the heart. I have done the possible, but the impossible is wholly and totally up to you. I pray for singles who are here today, a history of smashed and painful relationships, unable to communicate. I pray for couples that are here today, unable to really, really talk. Now, Lord, would you come to us sinners who need you so desperately? And would you heal us? Would you wound us? And then let us heal and do the work that you need to do for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. My dear friend, this ends this particular series of messages on marriage. But I have a question for you. What is it that God is asking you to do in light of what you've heard? What steps do you need to take within your marriage to bring about reconciliation and harmony? And I have to also ask you, are you willing to trust God for your spouse that he or she might be willing to take some steps also? That together you can work through your differences, your misunderstandings, and that your marriage can be brought together in such a way that there is peace in your home. I believe that God wants to do that in our lives. It is true that the cost is great, humility, repentance, and brokenness, but let's pay that cost.
Erwin Lutzer, concluding Miles Apart in the Same House, the last of four messages on Till Death Do Us Part, Keys to Success in Marriage. Tomorrow, a message for the momentous times we're living in. Don't miss For Such a Time as This. Running to Win is all about helping you find God's roadmap for your race of life. Our series on Till Death Do Us Part can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.